Mr. Cobb, if you're nominated by the Green Party to run for president, you'll be running against George W. Bush and John Kerry, but also Ralph Nader. And how do you see that affecting this campaign?
Well, I'm running in order to grow and build the Green Party, and I'm going to be articulating the principles and values and issues of the Green Party of peace, racial and social justice, democracy, and ecology. I'm also going to be encouraging voters not only to vote for the Green Party, but to join the Green Party, to get involved at the local level, to help us go about the process of building and growing the infrastructure necessary to actually take our country back from the corporate thugs who have hijacked it from us. So my biggest message is going to be, don't waste your vote, invest your vote in the long-term future of the Green Party.
Why is it important for progressives to develop their own political party instead of supporting independent candidates or trying to develop progressive values within the major parties?
Well, the reality is that all of the social justice movements of this country have always come from outside the establishment parties. Think about it. Third parties have been responsible for and the electoral arm of movements to end the slavery, women getting the right to vote, the creation of the Social Security Administration, unemployment insurance, workers' compensation laws, pure food and drug laws. The entire fabric of what we today would consider a just and compassionate society was championed by third parties before us. So if any listener would like to actually vote for a candidate who will end war as foreign policy, who will have publicly funded elections, or end the war on drugs, or single-payer universal health care, or publicly funded elections, they've got to be willing to vote for the Green Party candidates, because we're the only candidates running for office who are articulating those values.
But didn't those other political movements gradually become part of the major parties?
Well, let's remember this, that the Republican Party started as a third-party movement, and it took them 24 years to actually become a, quote, establishment party. And it's true that many of the other third parties before us that have had influence ultimately were co-opted by one of the major parties. But I submit this, that the Green Party's core message is not just on issues that can be co-opted, but is a real issue of authority. Who has the authority to make the fundamental public policy decision in this country? This is a democracy movement. And at the end of the day, I think that the Green Party cannot be co-opted by that. And ultimately, we're striving to create multi-party democracy so that we can have a genuine pluralistic society and open it up so that everybody has representation in this country.
You could say the Republican Party got its real start in the 19th century out of the ashes of the Whig Party. Does another major party have to become weak for the Green Party to become strong?
Well, only if we continue to have a voting system where it's a winner-take-all voting system. But again, the Green Party is proposing changing the voting system to instant runoff voting and proportional representation that would open up the space for alternative viewpoints to actually get representation. And if that happened, then you would find libertarians and Greens and Reform Party people and U.S. Constitution Party people being able to be part of the dynamic of the body politic, and the Republicans and the Democrats would continue to exist as well. So proportional representation is the voting system that says that a party that gets a certain percentage of the vote, say 20% of the vote for a legislative body, ought to get 20% of the seats to that body. It's a very simple system that's used throughout the rest of the world to elect its representatives. And what it allows is everybody to feel that they have somebody representing their interest. In this country, if the Greens get 30% of the vote in every single U.S. congressional race, we get 0% of the representation. That's not very democratic, and it's not a good voting system. And if we change the voting system to proportional representation, you would have more voices representing all of America, and voting participation would skyrocket.
In this campaign this year, what do you see as being the major issues in your campaign?
Well, the main issue is the war in Iraq. There's no doubt about that. John Kerry and George W. Bush are only disagreeing on how to conduct that war. The Green Party says, get out. Bring the troops home.
Beyond the specific activities in Iraq is concerns about a general war on terrorism. How would you conduct that war? Would you define it as a war on terrorism?
Well, in terms of Iraq, I would say it's not a war on terrorism. It's a war on people, and it's a war for oil. And I think it's important for us to be honest and say that's what that war was all about. Just like Afghanistan was a war about securing access to the natural gas of the Caspian Sea. It was a war of empire. So I don't think that there's any way to conduct a war in Iraq in an appropriate way. Get the troops home. And in order to do that, I say that we need to work in conjunction with the United Nations, ideally with soldiers from the Arab world and Arabic-speaking world, and transition U.S. troops out, U.N. troops in for a short period of time until ultimately we can turn that country back over to the Iraqi people.
And in terms of al-Qaeda and terrorist threats in general?
Well, in terms of any terrorist threat in general, it should be pursued the same way any criminal activity is pursued, which is with vigorous investigation and ultimately prosecution in the court of law, ideally in the world court. It's telling, isn't it, that the United States of America is the only country that's refused to ratify the world court. However, you know, whether it was the tragic events of September 11th or any other such criminal act, it's important to remember that those are criminal acts. Those are not acts of nation states. And to bomb the children of nation states because of the individual acts of criminals who may or may not be residing in that state is absolutely unacceptable in any civilized sense.
What do you see as your top domestic concern?
The top domestic concern are twofold. One is we've got to get a handle on global warming, global climate change. Two, we've got to get a handle on health care for the majority of Americans. And then my third one is to address full-on and foursquare that we've got institutionalized racism that continues in this country, and we have got to address the underlying race tension in this country.
How do you do something like that? And is it something that could be as specifically as identified as it could when Jim Crow laws were being overthrown 40, 50 years ago?
No, you can't identify it in the same way because they've been institutionalized. And the only way to it is not as concrete and specific, but it is equally damaging. So the most important thing that I, as a white person, can do in order to challenge racism is to try to identify white skin privilege wherever it occurs, point it out to other people, and have white people be willing to talk about racism as well and to be a good anti-racist ally. And I work very hard to convince other white people to join me in creating an anti-racist movement that will challenge the deeper institutionalized racism that exists.
Do you think the Green Party has the support among African Americans and other minorities that it should have?
Well, when you take a look at polling, what you find is that we get the same percentage of votes in communities of color as we do in the white community for the most part. I mean, a little bit smaller, but, you know, remember that we only got about 2 or 3% of the vote for president of the overall public. And whenever you take a look at the polling data for ethnic minorities, you find that it comes in at about the same level. However, when Peter Camejo ran for governor, he actually did better among African Americans and Latinos. And the same was true when Matt Gonzalez ran for mayor of San Francisco. So there's a lot of evidence that shows that the Green Party is making significant inroads into communities of color.
Do you think that you can do better in 2004 than Nader did in 2000, especially with Nader as one of the opposing candidates?
Well, I'm going to do as well as I can, and I am working hard to grow and build the Green Party. Those are my goals. I'm not actually challenging myself to either beat or match Ralph Nader's numbers, because whether I get 1 or 2% or Ralph Nader gets 2 or 3 or 4% is not really the issue in the 2004 race. The issue is whether or not we're getting more people actively engaged in growing and building the Green Party for the future.
Okay, Mr. Cobb, thank you very much.